The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I don't care what you say anymore, this is my life. Go ahead with your own life, leave me alone.
Good morning, Shasta County, it is June 4th. Again, that was Billy Joel, My Life. I am Kevin Cry, and this is my show. I'm excited. Today, I am actually excited, not even the word, probably elated with our lineup or our schedule today. In studio, I have Dave Rickert, who's our new CEO of Shasta County. So we're going to have him the first 30 minutes, and then the second 30 minutes, I'm going to unpack the last board meeting this past week. Some things happened, which I'm excited to talk about. And then obviously we have really, really big meeting coming up this week in the start of our budget hearings. So I think it's going to be a great show. Normally we jump into weather, but I'm going to skip that to save time because it's going to be hot. Then it's going to get hotter. Then it's going to be like face melting hot, and it's going to be absolutely crazy. So I want to just jump in. So with me, I have a gentleman. And I said during my campaign that I was most excited about hiring the CEO because in my 5 months as a supervisor, this is my third CEO. We had Mr. Minturn, then we had Mary Williams, both acting interim CEOs, and now we have our permanent CEO. And I knew it was going to be one of the biggest decisions I would make as a supervisor. I think the person leading the county or leading any organization, they set the tone, they set the culture, and after a nationwide search, we found our guy. He comes from Illinois, and that's not Illinois, it's not plural. My family's from Peoria and Galesburg, Illinois, so it's important it's not Illinois. And he's a husband of 30 years. Actually, his anniversary to his bride is this Tuesday, 30 years this Tuesday. He's got three kids, ages 29, 23, and his youngest turns 16 today. Crazy, 16 years old. And then he's held elected office for 22 years. He spent the last 2 years as the CFO of Winnebago County. So, Mr. Rickert, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Okay, so, Dave, we haven't had our first official meeting yet. We actually have our sit-down this Monday. So I'm anxious to ask you this. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, as you already mentioned, I have 20 years of experience as an officer at county level in county government, 22 of those as an elected official. So I have a good understanding of what it's like to work with the public and to interact. And also to an administration, I'm a licensed public accountant in Illinois. I'm currently working on transferring that license over to the state of California. California is unique in that they require you to test a portion of that again, and most other states are reciprocal. So I'm looking
forward to... So wait a minute. Are you saying California makes it harder to do business?
California makes it a little bit more challenging to transfer a license if you're a CPA.
Hey, you're not elected anymore. You can just say it. Yeah, California makes it really difficult to run a business, but that's okay. Go ahead and continue.
Okay. Before entering a career in public service, I worked 5 years in the corporate world for a Fortune 500 company, American General Corporation. You're probably familiar with that. And during my last 2 years of service for that company, I was auditor in charge of two divisions. So I have a wealth of private corporate experience in addition to public. I haven't been a career public servant, so I do have that experience. And finally, like many people in this day and age struggling to pay for college, I served 3 years in the U.S. Army as a military policeman. And I got the GI Bill, and it helped pay my way through college. So that's a great way I'd recommend if you're looking for a funding source for college. The military is a great way to go. I learned a lot of valuable lessons, life lessons in the military that have served me well throughout my career.
What was the greatest lesson, do you think, or what's the greatest lesson you learned from, and thank you for your service, in the armed forces?
I think the most important thing is if you want to succeed, if you want to move ahead, you have to self-motivate and self-promote. You have to be active. I was active taking military correspondence courses, taking leadership courses, and staff command recognized that and then promoted me up the level, which I left as a sergeant and then went on with the rest of what I've
done. So you worked. So you worked for a living.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'll tell you, one of the things I learned, and I learned it very quick in basic training, was the statement of being voluntold. So I knew very early if there was something I wanted to make sure I didn't do, I'd volunteer for something else real fast. So, okay. So we'll unpack why Shasta County.
Okay, well, it's a rather unique set of circumstances. Obviously, in Illinois, I had a very successful career. I was on the leadership track where I was and could have well have stayed there. But my oldest son will be graduating law school next year, and we were committed to staying close as a family. I'm very close with my family. That's important to me. And he wanted to practice in California. So we looked at the map of California, looked at the various communities, and felt what would be the good fit for him, where would he be most comfortable, where would he like to practice law, and we came up with Redding, California. And it was just by sure coincidence, a little bit later after doing that search, I saw that this position opened up. I looked at some of the unique challenges that Shasta County was facing. I felt that was a really good fit for what I've done in my past career, and put in my application. And as you know, Shasta County had a very thorough and challenging set of review processes, and did very well in that process, and here I am today.
Okay, so I agree with all that. And you said coincidence. Was it a coincidence, Dave? Do you really feel it was a coincidence?
Well, I'm a man of faith. I'm dedicated to that, and I just feel that the Lord led me in a way that put me in this position at this time in this hour, and I think I hope to serve the citizens of Shasta County as best I can.
Yeah, I think absolutely there's zero coincidence. I think you are the guy for this moment in time. I absolutely believe that. So tell me, so you've been here. Tuesday was your first day on the job, was a meeting, and you sat in the audience. So tell us about your first 4 days. And you don't have to go into detail about the board meeting. I won't do that to you, but tell me your first 4 days. Like, catch us up. What have you been up to?
Okay, absolutely. Well, it's really been a whirlwind tour. As you know, my first hour on the job, I've got to attend my first board meeting and got to, interact with staff. I will say, that the opportunity to sit down with some of my team, like Aaron Batine and Noel DeShort, my strength that I bring to this position centers on a lot of financial issues and capital projects. And I wanted to sit down with Aaron Batine, who works in the CEO's office, and also Noel DeShort, to review the county's financial situation. There's been a lot of discussion related to county finances. I know we're going into the budget season, and that's first and foremost my first stop. I wanted to see where we were, if we were ready to present to the board what the issues were, what our long-term strategic plan was, and to just kind of get a quick overview of the not only the budget, but the people in charge of managing and operating the budget for the supervisors. And I have to say both people are very knowledgeable, and I look forward to working with them. I also met with the lead corporate counsel for the attorney, Mr. Ross, for a briefing on legal activity. Finally, on Friday, I sat down. Another topic of discussion at the county level is the upcoming elections. I met with the clerk just to fine-tune some of the issues and make sure we're providing all the necessary resources so we have the ability to work with the clerk to provide for the next election.
Great.
That's just a small sample of my week.
Yeah.
What we've done.
So we have 17 department heads? So you've been able to meet with roughly three or four possibly?
Three or four, and most importantly, I've met with all these supervisors except for one, Mr. Cry, and we will be meeting with you Monday. I'm excited about sitting down with you and getting your take on your strategic objectives with the county.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, and I look forward to that as well. And I know some people are calling in. We're not going to take any callers this first half hour, but we definitely will the second half hour. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about your management style and just open up a conversation a little bit more. So so you're listening to 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, KCNR, your talk radio. We'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
This is Dan Sloan, chair of the Shasta County GOP. I urge Shasta County residents not to sign the petition to recall local Shasta County Supervisor Kevin Cry. A new California law, AB 2582, allows Gavin Newsom to handpick the next supervisor. They want a liberal Democrat. Keep the Sacramento catastrophe out of Shasta County and do not support the recall. To donate or for more information, go to nooncryrecall.com. Paid for by the Committee to Stop Newsom. No on Cry Recall.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there, us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
All right, we are back. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. And that's not a mix-up on Liam's part, because when I was preparing my songs for the week, I thought, like, what's a really good song encouraging? Now, I'm not going to say CEO Rickert and I are here, like, swaying back and forth, but Starship, you know, building this thing together. And that's what I think we're going to do. And I don't say me. I'm talking about the county. The county, not just the employees, but the citizens, the people, all rallying around CEO Rickert to make this county, because it's already great. Shasta County is already great. I want to see it be or return to what I think were the greatest moments, where everybody's aligned. Doesn't mean everybody agrees, but everybody treats everybody well, and we're moving it forward. So what I want to talk about a little bit now is management style and culture. There's obviously a lot going on in the county, both with – you know, we just had the UPEC strike. We have some other things in terms of a lot of turnover in terms of leadership positions. So tell me, Dave, a little bit about your management style and how you look to bring the 2,000 roughly employees together of the county.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I would just like to say, you know, I believe in a participative management style with staff. I also believe in delegating authority and responsibility where it's appropriate. I've already had the opportunity to meet a number of my staff members, and I'm truly impressed by my office assistant, Brooke Lowther, who impresses me by keeping me on track, pointing me to the right meetings, and making sure I'm in the right location. I'm sure in some capacity I'd be wandering the halls lost if it wasn't for her help and guidance. I also have working for me the assistant CEO, Mary Williams, who's done an outstanding job of filling in as executive officer in the interim until I was sworn in. And finally, I'm genuinely impressed with Erin Bertain. She's very competent with budget projections and financial analysis. No doubt that both Erin and Mary will be future county leaders, enabling staff like these to assume leadership responsibility. Not only prepares them for the future, but it enables me to focus on the direction and objectives of the county supervisors.
That's a great, well thought out, articulated answer. So let me ask you this. I've been going to, I believe it's once a month or maybe it's once every 2 or 3 weeks. I can't remember, but I tend to, I think I've made all but one, maybe two of the new employee orientations at the county, because I absolutely, and those, of course, that have been in all those meetings with me, I know Mary Williams has as well. So she's heard this, but, you know, you spend the majority of your life in bed or at work. So you better have a comfortable bed and you better really enjoy where you go to work, because that's where you spend the majority of your time. So I say that every single time. And a lot of the people that are in that room, we talk about, you know, the entrance interview and the exit interview in my personal companies, because not everybody's goal is to have one job forever. They need to have upward mobility, not just financially, but just to fill their soul and do something they really, really enjoy and care about. So what are some thoughts you have? And I know you haven't had a chance to talk to Monica right now, who's our acting HR lead or support services lead. What are some things that you've done in the past to bring culture of an organization together, big or small?
Well, you know, first of all, I'll point out, you know, post-COVID, there was a wealth of financial funding coming from the federal government with the ARPA funds, American Recovery Act funds. One of the projects we worked on in my former job in Winnebago County was developing a capital plan and a plan for redevelopment of the sheriff's office. And the real key with that is there's a very complex financial structure you have to follow in order to take grant funds and spend them toward projects. And that was a group participated effort. It wasn't something I was able to do on my own, but it was something I worked with my county board at the time, with department heads. We had regular meetings to review the progress on that. We had external audit advice on what money could be spent and where, and accomplished a lot in a very short time in Winnebago County, and we really brought people together. We have, and I know in Shasta there are some challenges, but we've, you know, it's not just unique to Shasta. A lot of the counties have challenges too, and, you know, that's a key component I hope to bring to this position, is bringing people together, working in a cohesive group, and efficiently using tax dollars. And I think that's probably a key I have. In my elected experience, I'm very sensitive to making sure we use the limited county resources we have in an efficient, effective manner, and have great respect for taxpayers, because they work very hard for their money, and I want to make sure we're doing a good job for them.
Yeah, those were the two things that were most important to me in the interview process, was somebody with very, very deep understanding of finances, both private and public. And then also someone that could, from a culture standpoint, really rally and bring people together. Now, when are you, and we're going to kind of, this is jumping back a little bit, just about your first 4 days, but on your upcoming schedule, when are you slated to meet with Sheriff Johnson?
Sheriff Johnson, I will meet with him next week. I'd like to tour the jail, get his take on the current situation in his office as far as what his capital needs are, how can he more effectively use his sheriff deputies, and what role I can play in assisting him to accomplish those goals. Law enforcement is a critical and key function of county government, and it's probably one of the more public activities the public is aware of, it, that the county performs for them, and I want to make sure he has the resources he needs to do his job well.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Winnebago County is considerably larger than Shasta County, correct?
Well, we got to look at that through two dynamics. Shasta County, as far as geographically, is a huge county.
Yes.
I think it is 8 or 9 times bigger than Winnebago.
Population-wise.
Population-wise, Winnebago is a little bit larger. It has some very complex urban issues, because the center of Winnebago County is the city of Rockford And they have a lot of the very same problems we have here as far as working with the homeless, providing social programs for the community, and meeting the needs in a way in a heavily urbanized environment. We're not quite as urbanized here, but a lot of the same critical infrastructure needs and goals are the same.
One of the things I probably will, or not probably, I guess I'll tell you now, and I just thought about this, but I think it'd be good for you and I, or, you know, you and someone from Laura Birch's team, maybe Sarah Brown or Christy Coleman, to actually walk you to Breslau or to Masonic, to Mercy Canyon, and give you an idea of some of the homeless camps, and just to give you a little bit of a hands-on breath of where the different camps are and what the geographical situation is, and, you know, get your thoughts about, you know, maybe some things you've done in Winnebago County or you've been a part of or had discussions on, and bring in some new ideas here. So we just have just a few more minutes. Is there any closing comments, anything you want to touch on or talk about or get out there?
Well, I just want to let you know, on the job, clearly my short-term directives are, one, working with the sheriff on our law enforcement needs, making sure they're being met. We have an upcoming election. I want to make sure the critical resources that the clerk is going to need are going to be there and that we comply with all the complex rules we have on the state and federal level to meet those requirements for the election. Finally, and I think this is really critical and most important, is making sure we have the right people in the right positions, that they have the tools they need to be successful, and that they know they have support not only from the supervisors, but from me to do their job, do it well, and make sure we're hitting all those goals. And I'll tell you on a personal note, I'm real excited driving through the eastern part of the county. You have tremendous natural assets. I look forward to me and my family exploring the hiking trails, doing some boating. We're very active as a family, and if I get the opportunity and rare moment, I might even try to find a favorite fishing hole or two. I like to fish, and I'm excited about that. But those are some of my goals.
Yeah, you're not going to have any problem finding a fishing guide or just somebody interested in you know, just taking you out. I know Mike Bogue, Guide Service, Greg Hector, Guide Service, and there's many other great ones. But, again, people will line up, I'm sure, to get you in a boat and bend your ear for a period of time. So your daughter is turning 16 today. Would you like to sing her happy birthday? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you don't want me singing happy birthday. That'll definitely not score me some points.
No. So, CEO Rickert, I really, really appreciate you coming in, taking this time. I know you're off to church, and Shasta County welcomes you. I welcome you. The county welcomes you, and we're just thankful you're here, and we're thankful that it's time to roll up your sleeves and make our county better and keep raising the bar of expectations for the citizens here in Shasta County. When we come back, we're going to jump into this past week's board meeting, everything coming up. You're listening to KCNR, your talk radio, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and we will be right back.
And now the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
This is Dan Sloan, chair of the Shasta County GOP. I urge Shasta County residents not to sign the petition to recall local Shasta County Supervisor Kevin Cry. A new California law, AB 2582, allows Gavin Newsom to handpick the next supervisor. They want a liberal Democrat. Keep the Sacramento catastrophe out of Shasta County and do not support the recall. To donate or for more information, go to nooncryrecall.com. Paid for by the Committee to Stop Newsom. No on cry recall.
We're back. That is Crazy Train, Ozzy Osbourne. I tend to play that almost every week, but the Crazy Train is what I feel like I'm on sometimes. This past week's board meeting was just another example of that. So let's jump in. We had a gentleman. Actually, scratch that. Not a gentleman. We had an individual. Come up and say a really, really heinous word. And then he doubled down on it by saying that he didn't mean it derogatory. He just meant it to mean the word ignorant, which was, again, I was just, my jaw dropped that a person could be so insensitive. And my first reaction when he said it was almost to grab the mic and tell him to shut his mouth. And I didn't, and I'll tell you why. I've learned to take emotion out of everything I do. Not in life, but almost, but especially in board meetings. I've sat up there for 5 months. People have said absolutely heinous things about me. Completely untrue. And you can't react. You have to sit there, and one thing, and I do this actually in my own companies when we talk about when an event happens, an event or a fact, something happens. It's very, very real. So what we do as people is we filter that through our emotions, and out of our emotions comes a result or a behavior. So when that individual says that word, I take emotion out of it, and I just sit there. Because we have a chair and there's a process. I can't tell you how insulted I was, and there's no hiding the fact that individual, because I believe that's like the second time he's used that word in these meetings, and there's no hiding the fact that is just ugly, it is wrong, and it's insulting. I think when you look at hindsight, and if you went back, and what does that look like for everybody? Everybody could do the Monday morning quarterback and unpack that in a whole series of ways. I just want to say that I think what Supervisor Rickert and Supervisor Garmin said was very succinct. It was well said, and I agree with it 1,000%. Could I have said something? I could have, but everything that I would have said, they said. And I really want to make sure people understand that for me, this whole thing has constantly been about process, and it's about the legal and legislative way things happen. And that's why we're going to jump into this budget and some of the things I'm learning. But the last thing I'll say was the gentleman that was, or the individual that said the things that he said. I would ask people to, when he comes back, because he will, because he speaks at, I believe, the city council meetings, and I've been coming to board meetings now for a year and a half, off and on, and then, of course, every one since I've been elected. Let's keep things very not confrontational in the terms of let's not let anything get physical. Let's all agree that it's heinous, it's horrible, it speaks more of the individual that says those words than anything. But I would encourage everybody to try and just – or not try, but we have to – we have to get to the business at hand with the county. We have a $650-plus million budget on Tuesday that the budget hearings start at 1 o'clock. And there is, in the past, we look at how our budget has, how those hearings have unfolded. And to my knowledge, as best as I can see in asking questions of those that have been there the past few years, and I haven't spoke to Supervisor Rickard, who's been there 7 years, but those budgets tend to pass in 2 to 3 hours. 2 to 3 hours, $600 million. Last year, there was a budget general fund impact of up to $50 million. Now, that didn't happen, but that was approved. If everybody would have spent their projected budget, we would really have 2 years left, and then the county would be bankrupt. So this year, we're celebrating, and when I say we are celebrating, the people at the county, some individuals are saying, hey, we have it down to $37 million. $37 million. I mean, that's like – and celebrating that. And that's like saying that, hey, you know, we didn't win any games last year, but this game – or this year we won one game. Now, maybe that one game, you weren't supposed to win any games, and that one game's a really, really big deal. But I'm not really interested in celebrating a $37 million general fund impact budget to be approved. And you'll see, because it's a public document, and it's a massive, I don't know, 800 pages. I don't know what it is. I printed it out. I don't know if it's both sides or not, but it's heavy. You got to carry it with two hands. And there's, you know, people say, oh, yeah, I approve this, I approve this, I approve that. I mean, the general fund budget grew by almost 15% per year compounded, and departments have overestimated their budget by almost 15% per year. I mean, your general rule of thumb is budget should have about 4% contingency. Any variance, positive or negative, above 4%, I mean, kind of like I would say – And this may sound harsh, but like requires adult supervision. Like you can't overestimate your budget by 15% and just build in contingencies, because in the private sector you can't do that. You can't operate that way where everything becomes a worst case scenario and you budget to that, because that's really mismanagement and not understanding. And what happens is we have budgets that, you know, are budgeted X amount and X amount is, let's say, returned or not used. And then we want to, like, celebrate that. Well, that's like, that doesn't make any sense to me to celebrate something that should have never happened in the first place. I mean, it's puzzling to me. And I know as we look at, like, the elections, there was an estimation of 1,300 employees needed to count ballots. And I believe that estimation is going to come well under 600. And so before we keep going, and I'll just actually touch on that really quick. When we talk about elections and AB 969, because AB 969, if you're not aware, that is the that bill was introduced, and it's actually passed through the assembly already, and it's currently sitting in the Senate Elections and Constitutional Amendments Committee, and it's scheduled to be heard on June 6th, and that is counties cannot eliminate their voting system without another one already put in place. Now, on the surface, that doesn't come across as necessarily a bad thing, but what it does is it's usurping local control from a local county government to do what they want to do. And also, by the way, if it passes on June 6th on Tuesday, it takes effect immediately. They've put what's called an urgency status on it. So Shasta County votes to go to a hand count tabulation of votes. And so the legislature rushes a bill through to keep other counties from doing it. And here's what I'll tell you. There's in between five that I know of, that I've talked to supervisors, that I've talked to individuals within county governments that are all considering doing that, going to hand counting. But what's happened is now, because this is going to pass June 6th, they all say, well, this is terrible, because now we can't do that, because we can't get it on the agenda and passed quickly enough to be able to do what you guys are doing. In Shasta County, actually, a lot of eyes, not just regionally or even state, but nationally, are watching Shasta County, watching our clerk, watching our Secretary of State to see how we move to a hand count. And this, again, all comes back to the budget that I was talking about. But when you see your government, your legislature rushing things through that take away your individual rights and liberties, I don't care if you're a Republican, I don't care if you're a Democrat, if you're an independent, if you're a non-party preference, if you're Green Party, if you're Libertarian, or I don't even know what else I left out. But that should alarm you. That should alarm you, and everybody should rally around, hey, we want local control. We have to have local control, because if we don't, then we're just and we're just it almost becomes it almost feels like you're living in a communist society, because it just takes away local control. So that's that. I'm going to move back to the budget. So on the budget, and we look at SB 90 funds, and I brought that up, and we have the $1.1 million owed to the county by the state. I'm still working on that. I said I'd give a report on that. I'm still waiting for my call back and actually my meeting in Sacramento. I have reached out to our elected officials here in our area, trying to see if I can get some help and better understand how we're going to go after that. But when we have money owed to us, and let's say it's $1 million, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And for supervisors to just in the past say, well, they owe it to us, no big deal. I mean, I'm trying to understand why measures haven't been taken, like, publicly. So what I'm doing now is I'm putting everything in writing with a wet signature, and I'm sending it off, because emails, I think, aren't being viewed. I don't think emails are getting viewed quite the same way some of my actual wet signatures on stuff are. And I'm going to start letting news outlets know what I'm sending out so they can follow this, because I want to put pressure on the state to get the money that we're owed. Because, again, it's our money. It's your guys' money, and we have to fight for that. So with the budget hearing starting at 1 o'clock, what's going to happen is Aaron Bertain, a deputy in the CEO's office, is going to do a presentation. And then Nolda Short is going to come up as well. And I probably have about 30 minutes of questions just for Nolda Short. So when we look at how fast these budget hearings last – and they've lasted, you know, roughly a couple hours to pass a $600 million budget with very, very few questions asked. And again, I would encourage you to go back and watch last year's, watch 2 years ago, watch 3 years ago if you can find it, and watch how the money, in terms of the general fund impact, how that's escalated over the last 3 or 4 years, and how it used to be done, how little was possibly budgeted from the general fund. I mean, this is going to be our very first year. We're going to be dipping into the general fund in this capacity, in this way. Now, keep in mind, Supervisor Kellstrom and myself were not on the board at that time. So this budget really is a reflection of, well, in a couple ways. One, you go back to CEO Pontus, CEO Minturn, interim CEO Minturn, interim CEO Williams. And this budget, you know, all the department heads have to have it in by February, and then it goes to June, and then we're supposed to pass it here quickly, I think within 14 days or 3 weeks. I don't have it in front of me. But, I mean, really, I think if those things are turned in March, budget hearings should start a long time ago, because if you turn your budget in March and then you wait 2 or 3 months, there's a lot that can happen. And one thing I'll tell you is the most important thing to me as we look at the budget is what does the sheriff need, and how can we get that third floor of the jail open back up? How can we help Sheriff Johnson with retention of officers? How can we also look to the future to get the new jail or the new component of the jail built? How do we get that built and staffed? And because it is going to be a much better model than what we have, it's going to be less labor intensive. But how do we get that built? Because we know we're not building the jail for today. We're building it for the next, you know, X amount of years. And I don't think the world is going to be any more moral. I don't think there's going to be any less people that need to be incarcerated. So that's a big focus for me coming up in these budget hearings. When we come back, we are going to take some calls, and we're going to unpack a little bit more of some things that are alarming to me in the budget. If you'd like to call in, 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, your talk radio, and this is Kevin Cry, and this is my show.
This is Dan Sloan, chair of the Shasta County GOP. I urge Shasta County residents not to sign the petition to recall local Shasta County Supervisor Kevin Cry. A new California law, AB 2582, allows Gavin Newsom to handpick the next supervisor. They want a liberal Democrat. Keep the Sacramento catastrophe out of Shasta County and do not support the recall. To donate or for more information, go to nooncryrecall.com. Paid for by the Committee to Stop Newsom. No on Cry Recall.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least three realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
There ain't no way we're losing. So we received some calls, and I don't really want to spend calls talking about the ludicrous possible attempt to recall me. But I will say this, because I want to just get this out there right now. There is, and here's another thing too. If anybody on the opposition, the individuals trying to recall me, if they want to put, let's say, $1,000 up, I'll put $1,000 up. They put $1,000 up, and let's unpack. And let's raise some money for a charity, maybe like Shasta Youth Options or Shasta Youth Prevention Council. And let's actually maybe figure out a way collectively to say, okay, let's really see who's lying and who's actually telling the truth. Let's put our personal money where our mouth is, because I'd like to do that, because I'd love to raise some money for a charity. And of course, the losing individual on that would donate to the charity of the other's choice. So I would pick Shasta Youth Prevention Council. Phenomenal organization. They do the mud run. So really quick, here's the thing. You've heard that they want to say, in Modoc or Glenn County or these other places where Newsom hasn't appointed anybody. So here's the truth as it relates to Modoc. A Modoc County supervisor moved outside of their district. So the individual had to resign. So it created a vacancy. There was never a recall involved. It was a vacancy, and it was created long before. AB 2582 became law. So a resident in that same district submitted an application to fill the vacancy, and the Modoc Board of Supervisors submitted a request to the governor's office to appoint the individual and save the county election costs. Then they waited and waited and waited. No answer ever came from Governor Newsom's office. Shocker, right? The Modoc Board of Supervisors, they worked through RCRC to press the governor to appoint someone, because it would be great to save all that money of an election cost, but still no action. So they, of course, had the election, spent all that money to fill the vacancy. I mean, why would a liberal governor, why would they care about helping a conservative county and appoint someone to the Board of Supervisors? He just ignored it, just ignored the request. I mean, the person that they tried to put up wound up getting it anyway. And it could have saved a lot of money, but he just didn't care. Now that the governor has signed AB 2582, into law, and again, that happened very recently since the recall of Supervisor Leonard Modi. Now that he signed that into law, he can appoint anybody he wants. So, of course, he's going to be interested. I mean, why wouldn't he? Because this isn't like it's a board right now that's constantly 5-0. I mean, this board tends to be 3-2, maybe 4-1. On occasion, it is 5-0, but there is no chance. There is no chance that Governor Newsom wouldn't jump at the opportunity to appoint here in Shasta County. I mean, every red county in California should be on high alert for this exact recall situation to occur, because it's definitely an overstep. And then in Glenn County, similar situation, not a recall, but he's not appointing anybody in Glenn County. They've put people up, and the CEO for Glenn County has said that they're just too conservative. They're just too conservative, the applicants coming forward. So we're going to put that aside. But don't let people kid you that this isn't something that people are disappointed that their candidate got beat, and some people just can't take losing. And that's fine, because we'll beat them again, and we're going to keep this county rowing in a really positive direction. So jumping back to our budget. Liam, do we have a caller that came in?
Yeah, I'm writing down the name for you.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's, I mean, whoever the individual is, let's go ahead and bring them on. So bring them on without even writing it down. Hello, you're on.
Kevin, I just had a quick question.
Sure.
What about becoming a charter county? Have you looked at that? Do you think that would help? Obviously, we're not liked by the Gavin Newsom regime, and they're trying to do everything they can to shut down conservatism in Shasta County. But I hear people talking about a charter county, and I don't know that much about it. Is that hard to...
That is a great question. That was actually one of the interview questions I had, as well as another supervisor during the interview process for the CEO. Yes, I'm very, very interested in looking into becoming a charter county. You definitely have more control. There's a lot of work there to do. I know CEO Rickert has a little bit of experience and understands it to some degree, but I know that he's that's going to be one of the first things that he's going to be tackling. That's something I'll be bringing up in actually my meeting tomorrow. I think that would be a great idea. There's not many. There's general law counties, and then there's charter counties. And I think being a charter county is definitely something that Shasta County really needs to look at. Again, for me, it all comes down just to local control. Let's keep Shasta County Shasta County. And
yeah, our freedom and our independence is everything. Would that require a vote of the people, or do you know?
Yeah, that would actually go to a vote. But one of the things that I know we're going to work through, or I'll be trying to work through with Supervisor Rickert, is how that affects all the different departments or all the different entities that play into that. And so, yeah, no, that's been something on my radar, and that's definitely something we're going to be looking at for sure. Hey, thank you for calling. What was your name?
Bruce.
Bruce. Thank you, Bruce.
You bet.
All right, so if you're not familiar with charter counties, I want to say it was attempted. I don't know if it was by the city of Reading or if it was being a charter city or at the county level. I want to say like 15 to, I don't know if it was 20 years ago, but I had heard that during my campaign of that term come up for the first time. So it'll be interesting to see what Dave Rickert or Mr. Rickert's thoughts are on that, and then what that timeline would look at. So going back, when we have our budget hearing this Tuesday starting at 1 o'clock, I would encourage people to try and download that and pick a department. Pick a department and say, you know, whether that's sheriff, HHSA, public works, the DA, pick a department and go through it and prepare some questions. Prepare some questions that you want answers to. And if you don't feel that you're not qualified to do that, I would push back and say you absolutely are, because as you read it, I think it's important that questions are asked by just your everyday person wanting to know how we spend that money, because there's a lot of things that are said many times that are untrue. When you look at the there's graphs in the budget, little side-by-side bar graphs of projected budget and then actual budget. And if you look, those cascade from left to right going up. And it looks like if you drew a line, it almost looks like a ski ramp or a skateboard ramp, you know, something that Evel Knievel would drive his motorcycle off over a bunch of cars. And that should be troubling because we're not talking just about inflation. And let's be honest, usually there's a recession roughly every 7 years. Well, there really hasn't been one in like roughly 14 years. So this is going to be like double bad. And as these budgets continue to grow, okay, fine. They're growing. So what are the outcomes? What is the expectation? We're spending more. We should be getting more. And those are some of the questions I think everybody out there should be asking. And if you don't have maybe the ability to get off work, maybe you can't make it, email your district supervisor to ask those questions on your behalf. So if you live in District 1, email District 1 Supervisor Kevin Cryer. If it's Supervisor Garmin or Supervisor Rickert, Supervisor or Chairperson Jones or Supervisor Kellstrom, Districts 1 through 5, know who your supervisor is and ask them to ask the question on your behalf and maybe even say, hey, have them ask the question by name. Put your name on the bottom of that email and say, hey, I want this asked on my behalf because we serve all of you. This is a budget that we're approving for every single resident, whether you vote or not, whether you care or not, we're still doing it for you. So dig into that, ask the questions you want asked, and then hold us accountable. Because there's a lot of things, there's a lot of rhetoric, a lot of propaganda about dollars that are spent or things that are happening that's completely untrue. Like that I've cost the county $4 million. We had a lease payment of machines. Now we're purchasing them outright. So actually, it's going to save us money. And when we look at the cost of hand counting, well, we're still working through that. And I believe that the Secretary of State works with us, like really works with us, really tries to run hand in hand where we say, hey, look, we want this to be fair. We want this to be free. We want this to be extremely transparent. We want this to be honest. We want this to be honest. That's the most important thing. We want everyone to understand and agree that their vote counts. We want that to be absolutely undeniable, that everybody knows that their vote counts. And when that happens, I think it's a beautiful thing. That's what we have when we talk about our republic. That's when everybody gets their say and they know that their say was put out there. So as it relates to budgets, maybe it's elections. Maybe you want to ask questions of our elections department. Great, do that. But every department head will be in attendance, and this is actually a time for you, even if you wanted. You might get to see some of them, shake some of their hands, talk to them, and say, hey, you know, my name's so-and-so. I have a question for you. We have a lot of great individuals, leading different departments in our county. Some I know much, much better than others. And I'll tell you, some of the departments are running their departments as if it's private industry. I mean, it's a lean budget. There's not much fluff. There's no room. Because here's what happens. If someone said, hey, Kevin, you guys should cut that budget by 5 or 8% and build the jail with that money. Well, here's the problem. If somebody has inflated their budget by 10, almost 20%, well, they can cut, you know, 5 or 8% of their budget, no problem, because they built that in. But the person that ran it like a private company, like real industry, who ran it like, hey, I think this is where we're going to be. Yeah, I've got a 2 to 4% contingency in there. That person can't cut anything out of their budget because they ran it lean. And that's one of the, again, the hardest things for me is as I see this, it's, to me, it just is like complete mismanagement. If you can't get your budget within an earshot of, you know, 4 or 5%, especially if you've been there a while, like, that's troubling. So if you're going to come ask for a lot more money, you better have, like, really, really good metrics that tell you why you need that much more money and what have you done with the money you've been given in the past to have such great outcomes that makes us say, hey, yeah, let's give you more money because your outcomes are fantastic. Like, you know, if I give a dollar – to a financial advisor or investor or whatever, I send that dollar out. I want them to go out there, conquer the world, and bring back three more dollars or two more dollars or maybe, you know, a nickel, whatever. I want my money to go out, work for me, and come back and bring friends with them. So when we talk about government, I think that these dollars need to be spent, and we as taxpayers should get better services, more streamlined services. Maybe, our life has to be impacted in a positive way. We can't just grow government where we have more people and more people and then more of a general fund impact as we talk about unfunded liabilities. So we're wrapping up the show. This is Traveling Wilburys, End of the Line. I'm excited. I feel like this week, June 6th, is the real work. This is the work that District 1 elected me to do, is ask these tough questions and make sure your taxpayer dollars are spent correctly. And I'm thankful for you, Shasta County. Have a great week. We'll be back here in 2 weeks. You're listening to KCNR, your talk radio.
Waiting for someone to tell you everything. KCNR, Shasta.